Jerry Bader Show 947. Kind of interesting. Jason out of the blue asked, what is the presidential salary? It's $400,000. Has been, President Obama makes $400,000 a year since 2000. It's been that since 2001. Kind of interesting. The salary for George Washington was $25,000. In today's dollars, at $673,000. In 1873, it was $50,000. In today's dollars, it's $992,000. In 1909, it was $75,000, which was $1.9 million in today's dollars. In 1949, $100,000, that's $967,000 in today's dollars. January 20th, 1969, the day on which Richard Nixon was sworn in, $200,000, or $1.254 million in today's dollars. And already, since 2001, that $400,000 salaries in 2012 dollars, $519,000. So kind of interesting. Didn't plan on going there, but just kind of interesting. The New York Times on Sunday, Monica Davey, I've met Monica Davey of the New York Times. She was in this building. She covered the U.S. Senate debate in 2012 for the New York Times that we did in this building. Very nice lady. She has had a piece Sunday. Now, you may or may not be aware of this. Wisconsin and Minnesota are being watched very, very carefully nationally as two petri dishes aside each other. One very liberal, one very conservative. As you are well aware, Governor Scott Walker has successfully tacked Wisconsin to the pretty hard right compared to where it's been, reducing the size of government, reining in public employee unions, and a host of other things, tax cuts, standard conservative playbook, and then some, since he's been governor. Governor Mark Dayton has gone in the exact opposite direction in Minnesota. And there have been comparisons between the two states. Well, she focused in on something. What better way to compare and contrast Dayton's Minnesota and Walker's Wisconsin with two cities a mile and a half away separated by a bridge, Duluth and Superior? And how different Dayton's Duluth is to Walker's Superior. Now, they talk to several people in here, but they focus in on primarily a husband and wife teaching team who live in Duluth but teach in Superior. So they're Wisconsin teachers, but they live in Duluth. Obviously, they have been impacted by Act 10. They also speak to Andy Fulton. His company runs a foundry in Duluth. Now, I want to just read select piece. The Smiths are the husband and wife teaching team. I want to read this to you. For the Smiths, the effects of Act 10 were instant, with more than $6,000 less in an already lean annual family budget, because only teachers have lean annual family budgets. Ms. Smith, a Spanish teacher who had worked part-time to spend mornings with her children, had no choice but to move to full-time hours. "We just weren't going to be able to make it," she said. Supervising their two children, Will, 12, and Eileen, 10, before and after school has become a juggling act, because no other parent has to deal with that, right, Jason? And with the union, by the way, Jason does deal with that. That's why I called them out by name. And with the union losing much of its ability to negotiate, Ms. Smith at one point even considered stopping her dues, even though her husband is on the union's labor management committee. I got to wondering, what am I paying for? Mr. Smith, who teaches history, said that he adored his work and students, but that he could not shake the sense that the rug had been pulled out from under him. This month, he'll start teaching students at a local university one night a week to make extra money and to get a glimpse at what else may be out there. It wasn't until the last 2.5 years where I really started wondering, is this what I'm going to do? Can I keep doing it? What else could I do? The same realities that everybody else faces, but they didn't face until Act 10. Then they talked to the guy who's an executive for the company that runs a foundry in Duluth across the bridge. And that's where it got really interesting. As you layer more and more taxes, it becomes harder and harder to justify continued expansion in the state, Mr. Fulton said. Bill Grawl, the Duluth plant manager, jokes that he wishes he could unilaterally annex the facility to Wisconsin, whose border sits a half mile behind the plant. In the end, the business is unlikely to move, Mr. Fulton said. Too much capital has been invested. Again, it's a foundry. The history is long. Is that one tax enough for us to say go? Mr. Fulton said, probably not, but it certainly is part of the equation, and it becomes a more significant part of the equation as the tax environment becomes more and more onerous. Here's what he's talking about. In 2013, Minnesota raised the income tax on individuals making more than $150,000 a year, a move, he said, that could affect his ability to recruit executives. They passed a tax on telecommunication services and equipment. They decided to tax businesses that provide warehouses for business materials, a tax set to go into effect this spring, whose costs, Mr. Fulton said, would be passed on to him by his suppliers. And they approved a tax on some labor conducted at businesses, such as repair work on farm equipment or maintenance or machines like the ones in the foundry. With improved revenue forecasts, some state leaders, including Governor Dayton, say they hope to repeal the so-called business-to-business taxes this spring. But business leaders around the state say they are skeptical, and they should be. It will never be repealed. There's my prediction right now. Okay, with what I've shared with you, what's your takeaway from this piece? There's an obvious takeaway from this piece that can be summed up in one sentence, based on what I shared with you. By the way, they also talked to a gay couple that own gay bars in Duluth and Superior, but they live in Superior. They're going to move to Duluth so they can get married because there's gay marriage. I didn't want to get into that. Based on what I just read you, what is your takeaway as they compare Dayton's Minnesota to Walker's Wisconsin? I think it can be summed up very simply. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. And in fact, I shared my take with a friend who manages our stations in Duluth, Minnesota, and she didn't agree with my take on it. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. Based on what I read to you from the husband and wife teachers who live in Duluth but teach in Wisconsin, and based on the comments of the foundry executive in Duluth who said they're actually considering, they probably won't, but the taxes have become so onerous that they would maybe consider leaving, but the history is so rich in Duluth that they probably would not. When you hear their two stories, what is the one sentence takeaway? This isn't that hard. I'm surprised people are struggling with this. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. Let me say this. Teachers will be offended by the word that I use. Teachers in Wisconsin will be offended by the word I use to describe this. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. This is not the most difficult question I've ever asked. Jason, do you have any idea, Jason? You mean I'm going to have to answer this myself? No listener can get this. No, only one person even ventured to try and hung up on Jason before Jason could take the call. Nobody can get this. I can't believe that. I did not anticipate this one being a difficult one when I threw it out there. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. What's your takeaway from the stories that you heard as they compare Mark Dayton's Minnesota to Scott Walker's Wisconsin, and they use Duluth and Superior because they're just separated by a mile and a half bridge? Brian in Appleton, what's your takeaway?
Is it private versus public?
Yes. That it is, but it runs a little deeper than that. That's close, and that is correct. That's not exactly the way that I would put it, though. Brian is close. But what would you say about private and public? What would you say about them? 406-1360. I only have about a minute and a half. I thought this was going to be so much easier than this. 406-1360. 888-455-1360. New York Times compared Duluth to Superior because they're right across the way. but very different because of who's governor right now and the legislature's in control. The two that I compare, I share with you, what's your takeaway? Jim in Green Bay. Jim, go ahead.
Well, Jerry, my takeaway is Wisconsin open for business, Minnesota open for Democratic constituencies.
That's right. And what does that mean?
That they're still trying to just, you know,
We're going to give one other person a try here. Jim was really close. Scott on the road. Scott, go ahead.
Well, Jerry, I don't know if I can sum it up in one sentence, but it seems like everything that the private business has been caused to endure, now all of a sudden the teachers get the tiniest little dose of that. They've lived in a bubble.
Here's how I would sum it up. The makers would rather be in Wisconsin, and the takers would rather be in Minnesota.
Well, there you go. There's one sentence.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was looking for. The makers, those who produce goods and services, find Wisconsin more attractive right now. Now, you can't call teachers takers. We work for a living. Yeah, I get that. But you have this ridiculous sense of entitlement that you should have it much easier than everybody else. Having to find people to take care of your kids in the morning and afternoon, we all do that. My kids are adults now. But Jason's, an already lean family budget, hit by $6,000 more because you had to pay what everyone else pays for health insurance and pension. That makes you a taker. A foundry is a maker. That's my point. It's 9:58.
Jerry Bader Show.